This is the Global Village Podcast, where we bring together people from around the world to share their stories. Our goal is to create a platform where everyone can have a voice and be heard. We believe that every story is unique and has the power to inspire, educate, and connect us all.
Hello everyone, my name is Aisha and I'm from Global Village Podcast. I'm here with Sharon. Could you share a little bit about your background with us? For instance, where you're originally from, what motivated your journey to Brooks?
Absolutely, thanks for having me, Aisha. So, my name is Sharon McCree and I'm a peace officer with the Brooks RCMP. And I am originally from Mongu, Zambia. My parents were missionaries and I was born overseas. Lived there for a number of years, and then we moved to Ontario, where I did all my schooling. Then I went to the U.S. for a little bit of university. Then I joined the RCMP after actually a stint in India for a couple of years. So my life has been a bit all over. But in my journey to Brooks, I joined the RCMP in 2013. And my first posting was in Williams Lake, B.C., and then my second has been here in Brooks, Alberta. And I chose to come to Brooks, actually, because I saw a school resource officer posting on the national posting site. And I was like, whoa, that's cool. Wonder what that means. And I called the detachment commander, had a conversation. At the time, it was Staff Sergeant Chris Sanity. And so he told me all about Brooks. I had no idea, one, where Brooks was. And number two, about the cultural diversity. I had no clue. And that was fascinating to me. That's actually one of the big reasons I chose to come.
Could you share with us about your career and how you engage with the community?
Yeah, you bet. So at the beginning of my career, when I graduated from DEPO, I went to Williams Lake, BC, and it's primarily, it's a little town, kind of like Brooks, but it's in northern BC, surrounded by 7 Indigenous reserves, and so it was a different policing experience than it has been here. But I was on GD, which is basically the people, when you call 911, that's who comes to your house or to the call. That's what I did my first 5 years, okay? And then I transferred here to work in schools. And I worked in schools for 5 years with the Grassland School Division, making sure that our schools were safe and that having a positive influence in a police uniform in a school building, building relationships with our kids, also building rapport and helping kids trust police was a big part of my job. And then in the last year, so I was acting for a little bit, doing two jobs, and then some changes were made around, and then I got to be in charge of the community policing unit. So now I am branching out. I was just working. Today I was at a school. And then this afternoon, here I am on a podcast. And so every day is different, but a big part of my role now is to connect with our community partners and to build relationships and figure out how we can help newcomers, people who live in Canada a long time, whatever demographic, culturally, ethnically you want to talk about, get to know the police better, and that's a big part of my journey.
What inspired you to become a police officer, and how was your journey been so far?
Yeah, so when I graduated university, I thought I was going to go to law school. That was my career path, and at that point, I did an internship with the International Justice Mission in Chennai, India, and part of that, that's really what changed my direction. Our work over there, I worked with the investigations unit. We worked in bonded slavery, helping do investigations into rock quarries, rice mills, and brick kilns. Basically, people take a loan from a local money lender instead of going to a bank because they aren't qualified to go to a bank. And they basically end up having to go and work for that money lender to pay off the debt for whatever it was. Sometimes the debt is as small as 10,000 rupees, 5,000 rupees that can be used for like the birth of a child, maybe a wedding, maybe a birthday, like some sort of thing that they've needed, or a house or something that they've needed. And so then in return for that, they end up having to work off these debts and they're never fully repaid. So during that, my eyes were opened to policing actually. And then, after I completed that, my year there, back and started the process with the RCMP.
How do you approach building a trust and positive relationship with the members of the community, especially the neighborhoods where there might be attention or distrust toward the law enforcement?
Sure. So for me, I mean, trust and relationship takes time. So my time working in the schools, I worked with lots of families from all over, but definitely there's definitely the neighborhoods where you're working with kids from families that come from more torn countries or places that they don't trust police at all. And it's slow going, but I find that if you treat people with respect and kindness, that goes a long way. If you listen to people, you hear them out, you help them with what you can, people remember that and communities talk. The other piece of that would be that some of my relationships within the school professional world with other members of communities, like working with them on a daily basis, whether I'm like translating, someone's translating for me, and those relationships, as those go stronger, they vouch for you in community, right? So it just takes time, but I like to show up. I like to do also our bike rodeos with our kids in the summer, different places, and that's also a place for people to see police officers in a different light.
What are some of the key challenges you faced in maintaining your own mental and emotional well-being while serving as a police officer?
Oh yeah, that's a great question. So police officers naturally are going to a lot of scenes on a regular basis that are abnormal, that are filled with trauma. And for me, part of it was switching to a different section, coming out of general duty and going into schools. Part of that was for my mental and emotional well-being. After you're arresting the same people often, in policing, we arrest about 10% of the population over and over, the same people doing the same things. And so you can get pretty down about that because you don't feel like you're making any difference. But going to work in schools, you get to be proactive with kids who they may have witnessed some things that they didn't like, or they may not really know, like they just hear what their parents say about police, but they get to build a relationship with you and you get to change, hopefully, the generation going forward so they trust police. I have found it really good for me. I really like being even in like the elementary schools talking to kids because they still like you. And we often in the last couple of years, police are not always liked. So that's a part of it for me. The other part would be taking care of my mental health in that I speak to a psychologist and I have a lady that I see. I gotta do video or I meet her in person in Calgary. And for me, that's just a check-in sometimes. And then if I find that I'm really struggling with a certain call or a file, I might talk to her a few more times to really work through stuff. Because the average Canadian citizen is going to experience maybe two or three traumatic events in their life. But police officers are going through multiple in a day, depending on what you're working in. But do my best. And then the last thing would be trying to be active, physically active, and get outside. I find that working out has always been something for me that's been good for my well-being.
What steps do you take to stay connected with the community to you serve outside of your official duties?
Yeah, so I'm involved in lots of community things. I coach soccer. I'm involved in my neighborhood, in my faith community, and those are all fun ways to stay connected. I also just try to, if my neighbors are outside, we visit. Have people over for dinner. We're going to try and plan a garage sale with my neighbors. You know, just try to be a part of what's going on and get to know the different people that live around.
What are some common misconceptions about policing that you would like to address?
You know, one of the biggest ones I would say is that depending on the country you come from will depend on whether or not you have a good opinion of police, right? And I would like to say that in my decade of policing, I've been a police officer now for over 10 years. And for the most part, 90%, 95% of police officers are really good people and they care and they will do the extra mile for you. And sure, are there, just like any profession, are there going to be a couple apples that you're like, that's so great, that one. Yeah, absolutely. We're not perfect. But I would like to just remind people that police officers are human too. And so if you're really upset when we come on a scene and you're screaming and yelling at us, it's really hard for us to try and help you if you can't calm down. We're human. We also have emotion.
Yeah.
But none of us really got into this job without wanting to serve and protect our community. So most police officers are there for good reason.
As you know, we have been running the John Ware Youth Empowerment Program for the last few years to empower the youth. Brooks Police Academy is a great initiative by RCMP to empower the youth as well and to build a trust with the community. Would you like to share some details about that?
Yeah, sure. And this has been one of my favorite projects that I've been a part of and helped start. And the whole goal with our Brooks Youth Police Academy is so that our youth get exposure to what police officers do, so that some of them could maybe consider a law enforcement career. Which the really cool part is, we have one of our former students from our very first police academy is currently at DEPO right now. And so we are stoked about that. And so it's evolved a little bit. This year was our first year that we did it during the school year, the first week of February, in conjunction with Grasslands and Christ the Redeemer Catholic School Division. Both school divisions came together and they were willing to allow applicants who were accepted to partake in this 1 week program here in Brooks during school time. And they got, in completing the course, they all received 3 credits for school, and they all got exposure to what it could be like to be a police officer. So if you're ever interested, or you think, hey, that'd be cool, or I'd like to learn a little bit more, make sure that you're watching our social media pages and that you talk to your school about the possibility of applying for next year, because it'll be next February 2025, the first week of February. And we will have applications probably starting in September. We'll talk a lot about it come September. But something you should definitely put on your radar if you're interested in working with us.
Could you recount any impactful or uplifting moments from your time as a police officer that reinforced your dedication to your career?
Oh yeah, there's quite a few, but even just most recently, I would say we had a file that sentencing came down pretty good, which was happy for me, because one of the things in Canada, if you are just kind of, if you don't really pay attention to the justice system or legal system, you may not know that criminals or like your high-risk offenders or even just person crimes, let's say, people don't tend to go to jail for very long if they get any time. It's very different than the U.S. And so for me, I do believe in rehabilitation of people. And one of the things I love about working with youth is seeing young people have the ability to try and change and to correct their life path. In the last couple of years, I have seen a couple of kids who I haven't personally arrested for different offenses turn around and get their life figured out. And talk to a couple of them, had one of them give me a hug and thank you for arresting. But pretty awesome, because that young man figured out that he had been at a fork in the road to make a big decision. Like, was he going to continue on the path he was on? Or was this his wake-up call to try and be a good citizen and a contributor to a society? I would say that the other big one, like with our current young lady who's at DEPO, and then we have a couple kids who are currently at Lethbridge Community College doing a Police Foundations program because of our Youth Academy. When I hear from students who come back and say, Sharon, like, thank you so much for doing this program, it changed my life, that's pretty awesome. That just reinforces that what we're doing here in Brooks is the proper things. And then I would say the last thing for me would be last year I was speaking at a conference, yet I had a former colleague from BC who I had assisted with his own personal mental health. He was at this conference. I haven't seen this guy in 7 years. And he said, Sharon, do you know that you helped save my life? I said, what? And I didn't realize that the actions I took at the time was a real turning point in his personal life. And one thing you might not know is a lot of police officers, we do struggle with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Lots of us have seen terrible things that we haven't been able to stop, or we have to show up after a family's been murdered, a child has died, all different terrible things. And lots of us struggle with those things. And police suicide has been on the rise the last few years. And I gotta tell you, I was in tears, he was in tears, we had a big hug. And you really just don't know the kindness you show to somebody on a daily basis, just truly how much of a difference that makes.
Which song from your culture heritage holds the deepest meaning for you? And what significance does it hold in your life?
So there's a few, but the one that comes to mind right now is actually a song by the Black Eyed Peas. It's called Where's the Love? And this was a song that when I was in high school, I think it came out. You know, it talks about the troubles of the world. And it also just challenges, like, where is the love? where are people, like, why is there so much hate? And for me, I try to love on people every day, try to show up, doesn't matter who you are. You could be a student, a teacher, a homeless person, a bank administrator, doesn't matter. Everybody's got stuff going on in their personal lives. And every now and then I listen to this song just to remind me of that. And it keeps me grounded because there's always going to be wars, there's always going to be pain. But what there is lacking is love. And so I do my best as a Christian to love other people.
What advice would you give to civilians on how they can support and collaborate with the law enforcement to create a safe community?
My friends, if you are seeing someone in trouble, if you are struggling to make a change, or you want to collaborate with law enforcement, come on down. If you live specifically in Brooks, we have a community policing unit, and that is our mandate, is to support and collaborate our community, our civilians. So we are open. My name is Sharon. I work with Kelly, and I work with Travis, Constable Norton, and Kelly Sanford is our safe communities facilitator. She kind of is our quarterback in our unit, in that she's our planner, making sure we get things organized on our calendar and that we all go where we need to. But if you have ideas of how we can create anything, any program or initiative that you would like to do with police, please come forward and talk to her and myself, and we would happily sit down with you and try and come up with a plan, because that's what we want to do.
Thank you for being here, Sharon.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
We will be playing Sharon's favorite song at the end of the podcast.
Always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive till love is found. Now ask yourself,
where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love? One world, one world.
We only got
one world, one world.
That's all we got.
One world, one world.
And something's wrong with it.
Yeah.
Something's wrong with it.
Yeah.
Something's wrong with the good world, world. Yeah. We only got
one world, one world.
That's all we got.
One world, one world.
This has been the Global Village Podcast, and we hope that you've enjoyed this journey as we explore the diverse cultures, perspectives, and issues that makes Brooks a global village.